The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Welcome to America's Web Radio. Today, I want to talk about the most unusual historical experience we are all about to participate in. We currently have a former president, Donald Trump, running to regain the office of presidency. That's only happened a couple of times in the history of the United States, where a president serving four terms was kicked out of office, not voted back into office, came back and ran again, and won the office. That's a very unusual situation. The other is that we are engaged in a presidential campaign where the second option is somebody who has never received a vote to be president, has been through primaries more than 4 years ago and didn't receive a single electoral vote from the primaries and dropped out before there was actually the first primary was even voted on. We have somebody who is a vice president who, as we all know, vice president has very little responsibilities. But this vice president, Kamala Harris, has only one major responsibility that the public is and has been aware of, and that is as border czar. Now, the president, Biden, dropped out of the race under enormous pressure from his own party. Now, he had 14 million votes and had the electors to become the nominee for the Democratic Party, but because of a mental decline, which people for months and months and months, if not years, have declined that was actually happening until the American people actually saw the decline in the debate that he had with Donald Trump. There was no doubting the mental acuity decline, the dementia, the Alzheimer's, whatever it is, setting in, and that he had no chance to win the election. So it wasn't that he didn't get the votes to be the nominee. It was that his party saw that he was definitely going to lose the election. So they threw out all of the previous year's votes from their party to select the nominee and instead inserted their own candidate and elevated Kamala Harris to be the candidate. And that is still yet to be certified, verified by the Democratic Convention, but it sounds like it is a done deal at this point. So they've sort of coronated her to be the nominee, not selected by the people of the country, but by the insiders and the politicians. And keep in mind those people listening to this podcast that it really wasn't even the politicians, Nancy Pelosi's or the Chuck Schumer's or even the Hollywood elite, Clooney, that did it. What really made the difference here is that the donor class, the billionaire Democratic donors, had started to withdraw their funds and their funds were drying up. So basically this is a bought position at this point that the donors said, no, if we'll support somebody other than Biden. And when the elite Democratic insiders said, well, we have to elevate Kamala, then all of a sudden the donor class came back. Now, the important thing to recognize is that, and we're going to look at Kamala's accomplishments or lack thereof in this podcast, this radio program today, but it's absolutely amazing that within a few weeks, Kamala went from being a drag, and the reason that Biden was down in the polls because she was such a terrible campaigner, she was a terrible vice president, she hadn't done anything, to all of a sudden when she's now elevated to be the candidate, she is like the world's best vice president, part of an administration that was historic, that has done more in 4 years than anybody else has done in 8 years. And this is all the media. I mean, if the public didn't understand how corrupt the media was, clearly the public should be seeing through what's happening in the media to sort of anoint Kamala as the next great savior for the United States. Keep in mind, the media are the same people who lied to the American public for years about major issues because they didn't like the politics of conservatism or Republicans. The legacy media clearly is a part of the Democratic machine. Now, I know a lot of people will say, well, that's just a Republican conservative talking point. No, I mean, it is right in front of your face for anybody willing to even open their eyes a little bit. Just think about the corruption between the deep state, the media, and the Democratic Party. I mean, you can just start with the Russia hoax inclusion that was funded by Hillary Clinton, was promoted through the CIA and the FBI, and then the media picked up on it. Take a look at the Hunter laptop story that the media said was Russia disinformation, and how they relied on however many tens or dozens of past CIA and intelligence experts to say, well, it has all the characteristics of Russian disinformation. Keep in mind that the FBI had that computer for over 2 years before the election. They knew that it was real, but they didn't come out and make that clear to the public. They let the lies go on and on and on. And 17% of the population under some polls said that they would have voted for Trump rather than Biden had they known about the corruption that was going on and that was contained in the Hunter laptop. So there's two big lies there. What about the lie that Kamala Harris was probably the most involved in lately? And that is Biden's mental health. I mean, Biden's mental health, the public could see it. You know, I know the liberals don't want to watch Fox News, but it was the only station I know that for 4 years was showing the continuous decline in the president, that he couldn't walk straight, he couldn't talk straight, he was mumbling and fumbling, he would start sentences and not finish them, and it got worse and worse and worse over 4 years. But the earliest signs were there as far back as 2020. Keep in mind, that's one of the reasons I believe why they kept him in his basement in Delaware and didn't get out campaigning, because people would have seen that. He would have made the same flaws, the same mumbling that he did more recently, and it was more obvious, but there were certainly signs of it that they tried to keep from the public. So the media lied about his status for 4 years. Clearly, Kamala Harris lied. She was complicit in all this. She says that she met with him weekly. If she met with him weekly, she knew what was happening. She knew what was going on with his inability to actually function and run this country. Now, I think that others behind the scene love the fact that he was so debilitated in his thinking, because that allowed faceless bureaucrats to actually run the country. It allowed the departments that he never met with, his cabinet, to actually run the country without any pushback. They just let them go wild with regulations and limitations and lawsuits and what we now call lawfare to attack people and companies that are on the wrong side of their political issues. So there's three big lies: the Russia hoax, the Hunter laptop, the Biden mental health issue. What about smaller issues that they all lied about? The Jesse Mollett, the MAGA Republicans were trying to attack him in downtown Chicago in the middle of the night. Kamala was out there saying, yeah, well, this could be, you know, any one of the black children that she knows. The president, this could be, you know, one of my kids. Now, he said that before as well in one of the other cases that was a hoax. But the media jumps on this, and it took some time before that whole hoax was exposed as being self-created and self-promoted by Jesse Mallette himself, but the media jumped in right on that. Now, so that's a fourth one. Let's take a fifth one. What about the border security that was going on and those horses that were being used to help keep people from rushing into the United States illegally? In order to train the horses and to get them to move from side to side as they were trying to block illegal immigrants from coming in the country, coming across the Rio Grande and onto U.S. soil, they were directing the horses, and they direct horses with whips. They whip the horse on one side or the other to turn back and forth. Anybody looking at the videos that were presented knew that that's what was happening. Yet Kamala Harris and the President of the United States said, oh, that reminded them of the Ku Klux Klan and the way they whipped black people. Give me a break. How much more distortion? And the media went on and on with that, showing the videos and talking about how this was reminiscent. So the border patrol people were racist. And it just gets sickening after a while. So there's another one. What about, again, maybe not as big a national issue, but more lies. I mean, the people just don't know how to stop lying. What about Biden checking his watch when the dead soldiers returned to Washington and he kept looking at his watch? Well, it's like, don't believe your lying eyes. The media and the Democratic machine was like, no, he wasn't checking his watch. I don't know what they were saying he was going to do because it made no sense. So it's just like when he was mumbling and fumbling for the last year inexplicably, and over the last 4 years, it's like, don't believe your lying eyes. The guy is sharp. He's unbelievably informed. There's been no change in any of the issues that we would want him to address until he gets out. Then all of a sudden, you have a George Clooney who was doing a big fundraiser in Los Angeles, says, oh, well, you know, this fundraiser, Biden clearly wasn't the same as he was 2 or 3 years ago when we did fundraising. The same with some of the media types. They'll come out and say, oh, yeah, well, 2 years ago, he was a different person. Now they expose themselves of having known. Well, of course they knew, but they lied to the American public. How many people now, how many of the general public are going to listen to the same lies about this great and wonderful Kamala Harris and how she is the best thing going on? And they're now even talking about Kamala Lot, like Camelot. I mean, the buildup and the change in attitude about this person is like overnight, because we have a liberal, socialist-oriented media that doesn't even see their own biases and won't admit it. And if they do, they're not going to change because they want a socialist country. They want a strong central government that controls everybody. And I'm going to delve into that. So if you'll just stay tuned for the next segments, I'm going to delve into actual policy issues that Kamala Harris has made a disaster. But stay tuned. Let's listen to this commercial and be right back.
In 2009, the membership organization Docs for Patient Care was founded. People all around the country wanted to participate in the efforts of this group, and they wanted to join, but they were unable to do so unless they were physicians. It's for this reason that the Docs for Patient Care Foundation was created. Now, everyone can join the fight and become a member of an organization created by doctors for patients, dedicated to fighting for your healthcare freedom and preserving the doctor-patient relationship. While you're at your computer, please go to www.docsforpatientcarefoundation.org. That's www.docs4patientcarefoundation.org, and make a tax-deductible donation and join the fight along with us. Thank you.
If you want the truth about politics, medicine, weapons, classic cars, and more, you'll want to tune in to America's Web Radio. You can listen to all of your favorite shows live at www.americaswebradio.com or on demand on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app. That's www.americaswebradio.com.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back to America's Web Radio. Today we are going to expose Kamala Harris for the policies she's taken, the policies that she's failed on, or her past comments, comments about her past and her success or lack thereof in so many different areas. But I want to continue a little bit with the first segment we had in talking about the Democratic lies to the American public. It is so flagrant that anybody who has any sense at all, is connected at all to the news media, and I know many people are not, but anybody who really wants to know about what's going on will either discover the lies as we go forward before the election or already recognizes that they have been lied to, and they ought to be mad as hell about it. Let's take a couple of the Democratic talking point lies in the current few weeks. First of all, this idea of Project 2025. If you haven't heard about it, you will continue to hear about it because Democratic Party keeps mentioning this is Trump's plan for the future, when in fact Trump has said he hasn't read it. It is a document put out by the Heritage Foundation, which is an organization that Trump has had some reliance on in the past in terms of identifying good judicial nominees. But as far as policy is concerned, he said he hasn't read it. The few parts he's heard about, he said, are ridiculous or distorted or radical, and he has no interest in it whatsoever. In fact, the person who wrote the Project 2025 has since been dismissed from the Heritage Foundation, ostensibly that the project is finished so he can move on to something else. But Trump has made it very clear that whatever's in that plan has nothing to do with the Trump administration or the future programs that they would install once elected. But that doesn't stop the Democrats from saying it over and over again, and for the media to sort of present it over and over again without any fact-checking or cutting that out. You know, they determine what few minutes gets into the news. If you watch at ABC News, you know that in a half hour they present at most about 15 to 20 minutes of news, but they will play the same thing over and over again. As an example, the other big lie that's coming out, distortion that the media is complicit in, is this J.D. Vance comment from 2021, before he was even in politics, about families with children, saying families with children really have a greater interest in the future because their children are going to be living in it, so they have more concerns about things that are going to affect us 5, 10, 15, 20 years from now when the parents are gone and the children are still having to live under whatever crazy ideology or government structure we have. Yet ABC News, as an example, has replayed that clip 4 consecutive days that I've watched it, and they don't provide any context or explanation. Only in the last day did they interview Trump relative to that comment. Trump said exactly what I just mentioned here, that, well, J.D. Vance is just saying that there are anti-family policies that the Democratic Party has implemented, and Trump has implemented pro-family policies to try to allow families to grow and prosper and actually encourage more children, where the Democrats want to kill as many children as they can with abortions and try to make it difficult for families to start a home by having high interest rates, high inflation, and they want to focus on a double family working families as opposed to somebody who may be able to stay home and take care of the kids and have a family because that's too much of a 1950s mentality. They want to have government-sponsored daycare and child care and elder care and everything else so that the working moguls of this country can keep hiring both family members and they don't have to worry about the family and kids or take care of them the way maybe we used to decades ago. So there's a context there to the that's never presented by the mainstream media. What about the other lie that the media is promoting right now, that Trump won't debate Harris? Well, Trump said, we don't know that Harris is going to be the nominee. They've already changed from Biden, which was the scheduled debate. And now Harris is supposedly the nominee, but who knows what's going to happen when they get to the Democratic convention. So he said, well, let's just wait and see who the Democratic nominee is. And then we'll debate. Well, the media presents that as well. Trump's so afraid of Harris that he doesn't want to debate. Well, that's garbage, as we know. What about this threat to democracy? Well, that's kind of waning a little bit, I guess, because while the Democrats and the media were always presenting that Trump was a threat to democracy, if he gets in, he's going to be a dictator, and it'll be the last election we ever have, and this country is in peril because of the potential of what Trump would do. Well, now we see the Democratic Party for what it really is, and that they didn't go through a democratic process to even get to their nominee. You got to remember that when a year ago, when the primary elections are being held, Democratic Party would not let Robert F. Kennedy Jr. run as a Democrat. They wouldn't let him be in the primaries. He's a Democrat. He actually had to change to become an independent to try to get on the ballot in states for the final presidential election, but they wouldn't let him run. Now, if he had, he may have his own constituency within the Democratic Party, his own electors. Maybe he would have been the candidate that stepped forward instead of Kamala because he would have had more electoral votes because she had zero. So this whole idea of democracy is at stake seems to have changed a little bit since we know now the Democrats, instead of going through a democratic process to get their nominee, is going through a process of anointing of party insiders designating who will be their nominee as opposed to the Democratic Party and the people. So that seems to have definitely gone its way. What about the threat to democracy on what the Biden administration has just recently done? They want to change the Supreme Court. Previously, they wanted to, what they call, pack the court. They wanted to give the president and the Congress the ability to nominate and approve additional members on the Supreme Court. So instead of being 9 members, they'd go to like 13 members so that the liberals could have more left-wing judges come into the court and change some of the final decisions to create bigger government, less freedom for all of us, and to challenge those things that today we know are constitutionally not allowed, but the Democratic pack in the court would make them constitutional by a vote of a bunch of liberals. What about the Democrats wanting to get rid of the filibuster in the Senate, which allows for a protection of the minority votes? Well, when they're in the minority, they won't want to get rid of the filibuster. But when they had a very slim majority, which made it difficult for them to get together, and they would have to go across party lines in order to get a few Republican votes to pass anything in the Senate, they wanted to get rid of the filibuster. And remember, it was the Democrats who got rid of the filibuster for appellate court judges in Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C. District Court, appellate court, is the court that handles the conflicts that might occur between the executive branch and Congress, or any issues relative to the executive branch. So Harry Reid, when he was in the Senate, he was senator from Nevada, he got rid of the filibuster for that District of Columbia court because he knew there would be challenges to the Obama administration that he wanted to be sure were ruled in favor of Obama. Well, that worked in the short term, but again, when you change democracy, sometimes unintended consequences occur, because when Republicans got back in control under Donald Trump, they said, well, if you're going to get rid of the filibuster for district courts, we're going to get rid of the filibuster for Supreme Court nominees. And that's how Trump was able to put 3 people on the Supreme Court that the Democrats are now complaining about. But it's their own fault because they tried to change democracy to benefit them in the short term, and it came back and it hurt them in the long run. What about the other way the Democrats have changed democracy? Again, you hear very little of this. It's certainly not emphasized by any national media. But what about the House impeachments? Certainly when the House, on a fully partisan vote, decided to impeach Donald Trump twice. It went to the Senate for judgment, and there was a trial held, and Trump was acquitted both times because it was clearly a partisan witch hunt. It was clearly a Democrat-controlled House of Representatives that could do almost anything Nancy Pelosi wanted. But what happened now when the Republicans were in control of the House and we have a wide-open border, a total dismissal of our laws of protecting the citizens of the United States, and we're letting 10, 11, 12 plus millions of people from other countries, from all around the world. I mean, there are 7 billion people in this world, and they all can get into the United States if they can just fly to Mexico and run across the border. No country can survive that way. It was a complete dereliction of duty, and the person mainly in charge of being able to change that or recommend policies to the President of the United States, other than the President Biden being most responsible and Kamala being second responsible in their executive positions, it was Secretary Mayorkas. He is the biggest liar. If you ever watch him, and I encourage this audience to call up and listen and watch YouTube presentations of his congressional hearings, he can lie with a straight face. He can make up words. It is unbelievable how this guy survives. But he is following the orders of President Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris. And what did the House do after 4 years of being sick and tired of trying to get these policies changed, to work with the administration, to challenge Mayorkas' policies? They impeached him. And they impeached him with some Democratic votes. So it was a bipartisan impeachment. It wasn't a one-party impeachment. And what happens then, just like previously, it goes to the Senate. And what did the Senate do? What did the Senate leadership do? They tabled it. They wouldn't even hear. It's the first time in history of the U.S. Senate that a person who was impeached was not given a full jury trial by Congress after an impeachment process made its way to the Senate. So who's changing the government? Who's changing the democratic process? Who's setting new precedents that will only come back to hurt them, but they think they can get short-term gains? So they will do anything they can. And, of course, well, recently President Biden has come out and fully supported by Kamala Harris to change the Supreme Court, which will never happen. It's not going to be constitutional, but it might gin up some of the far left voters out there to say we need to get the Democratic Senate, because right now the Democrats are losing the Senate. Anyway, let's come back. And again, I want to get into the very specifics of Kamala Harris and what her duties were as Vice President of the United States and how well she did perform. Be right back after this commercial.
The Docs for Patient Care Foundation is your way to join the fight and become a member of an organization created by doctors for patients, dedicated to fighting for your healthcare freedom and preserving the doctor-patient relationship. Get a pen and paper. Write down www.docsforpatientcarefoundation.org. That's www.docsforpatientcarefoundation.org. Go to our site and please make a generous tax-deductible donation and join the fight today. Thank you.
Veteran-owned, America's Web Radio would like to thank all of our incredible patrons. We wouldn't be able to do this without you. If you are not already a patron, you can help us continue to produce some of the most informative and entertaining shows on the Internet by becoming a patron. Patrons of America's Web Radio are the first to receive information about new shows and links to the latest podcast episodes. Join now and receive a free gift while supplies last. For more information and to join our family, please visit www.patreon.com/AmericasWebRadio. If you have questions, contact us at gm@AmericasWebRadio.com. And as always, thank you for listening.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back to America's Web Radio. Today we are talking about Kamala Harris and exposing her for what she really is, not what you hear from the lying legacy media, mainstream media. I wish there was a better term that we could all agree on to talk about is probably just as soon recognize them as part of the Democratic National Committee, the way they distort, they lie, they leave out things that are important. They don't follow up. They don't fact check. They just seem to be anti-Republican, pro-Democratic. And it makes it difficult to have an honest election of ideas when the media does not present us with the proper facts and figures couched in the right kind of context. So I want to get into the details of Kamala Harris, but I want to talk about her personality first. She's best known for many of us on the conservative side, where we get to see some of the flaws, as producing a lot of word salads, if you will, sort of cringeworthy word salads where she says things that just don't seem to make any sense. And many listeners out there have heard some of this other times when you've been listening to more conservative news. But for many out there who may not listen to news very closely, or maybe this is new to them, I want to play a few segments of what Kamala Harris really is like to show her underlying intellect. And is this somebody that you really want to have as president of the United States and head of the free world? So let's listen in on a few tidbits of what Kamala Harris has been saying in her vice presidential duties.
It is so good to hear our president's voice. Joe, I know you're still on the call, and we've been talking every day. You guys heard it from Doug's voice. We love Joe and Jill. We really do. They truly are like family to us. And we do everybody here loves
it. It's mutual.
You are still there. You're not going anywhere, Joe.
I'm watching you, kid. I love you.
Now, that exchange was right after President Biden had decided he was not going to run again, but had not actually appeared in public or made any national TV presentation like he did. But what a fake arrangement, as if, you know, he's not on the telephone after he starts talking at the beginning, and then you get her cackle at the end there, and it's so fake. Oh, I love you. I love you. Well, yeah, because you just made me a candidate for presidency that I never really earned. But let's continue to listen to some other crazy, fake, made-up interactions from Kamala Harris. You know, it's interesting to hear people who disliked Donald Trump before, but in a comparison to Kamala Harris, go back to Donald Trump. Many of you may remember Megyn Kelly. She used to be on Fox. She had a big dispute with Donald Trump. She was moderator of one of the debates in 2020, and he attacked her for the inappropriateness of the first question that she asked. But let's hear what Megyn Kelly has to say these days, because amazingly enough, for those of you who don't know, she actually is a supporter of Donald Trump, even though she had this historical dispute with him. Let's hear what she has to say about Kamala Harris.
I'm sorry to be ad hominem, but she's a fool. She's not a smart person. If you listen to her, as I have now for so many years, you glean that she is faking it. She thinks she's Oprah with her attempts at profundity that never land. We will be unburdened by what has been. It's her only line. She says it all the time. Her other line is about Venn diagrams, which is equally stupid. She doesn't get it. It doesn't require speaking to people like they're four, but that's her level of communication. So,
okay, here's a classic example of her speaking the same thing over and over again, which many politicians do in their campaign speeches, but it's kind of a silly thing to try to teach us mathematics about how old people are and when they were born. But give a listen to this many often used phrase that she puts in, and you'll probably hear a lot between now and Election Day 2024.
The thing I'm about to share with you. If someone is 18 years old today, they were born in 2005.
I love Gen Z. I love Gen Z. It will be a humbling moment for some of us to realize that anyone who is 18 now was born in 2005. I love Gen Z. So think about this. Okay, first of all, it's going to be humbling for many of us when you remember or realize that someone who is 18 now was born in 2005.
I have to tell you, I'd love Gen Z. Yes, I know, but I love Gen Z. And it will be a humbling fact to many of us when we realize that anyone who is 18 today, they were born in 2005.
Many would call what she says a sort of vacuous platitudes. I mean, there's no policy implications here. There's no policy record. There's phrases that it's hard to even understand what she meant, what intended, what was going through her head. But here's one of the most famous ones that she puts out. And again, those listening to this program will probably hear this over and over again as we get into the campaign, because it is one of the most vacuous comments I think that any politician has ever said.
I can imagine what can be and be unburdened by what has been, you know? What can be unburdened by what has been? What can be unburdened by what has been? What can be unburdened by what has been? What can be unburdened by what has been?
What we can see, what we believe can be unburdened
in time in which we exist and are present. And to be able to contextualize it, to understand where we exist in the history and in the moment as it relates not only to the past, but the future.
You know, when a Democrat loses the support of the media and they begin to parody and make fun of and become the point of comics, that's a major sea change, because it historically has been only Republicans that get made fun of with sarcasm, parody, outright meanness that can come with comedy as well. But Republicans have learned to take that. Democrats, I'm not so sure, because they don't usually get targeted. But I want to play a small clip about Kamala Harris again, trying to focus on her vacuousness, that her lack of thinking and her presentation is so difficult for people to understand why she doesn't present more ideas. She presents platitudes. So here's a presentation by one of the major channels making fun of Kamala Harris. So just listen to their description of why she's so hard to understand and why she is so vacuous at times.
My fellow Americans, words have many meanings, and sometimes instead of conveying our meaning, they can suggest other meanings.
When we talk about the children of the community, they are a children of the community.
Well, we are the United States of America because we are united, and we are states.
Talking about the significance of the passage of time. Right? The significance of the passage of time. So when you think about it, there is great significance to the passage of time.
Whatever we have in store cannot be known. The past was once the future. The future is, I should say, unknown.
We got to take this stuff seriously as you are, because you have been forced to have to take it seriously.
Obesity is a serious disease, and it needs to be taken seriously.
You need to get to go, and need to be able to get where you need to go to do the work and get home.
I hope that clarifies the issue, and this can be the last word on those words.
Certain issues are just settled. Clearly we're not.
No, that's right, and that's why I do believe that we are living, sadly, in real unsettled times.
Well, as we all know, the vice president typically doesn't do anything but wait for the president to die or for something to happen. They always say vice president is one heartbeat away from presidency. But sometimes vice presidents are assigned critical major national policy tasks, and certainly with Kamala Harris, she was assigned one major task that we are all well aware of, that she was assigned to be the border czar. Now, if you listen to media today, and maybe tomorrow you listen to ABC News or CBS or CNN or NBC News, whatever it is, they're going to say, oh, she was never the border czar. What? It's kind of like saying Biden was never debilitated, had all his mental acuity until he just decided to give up and pass on to the new generation the presidency. So let's listen to a little bit of a fact check around whether or not she's actually recognized as the border czar.
She was appointed border czar.
Border czar.
Border czar.
The border czar. Even in a U.S. House resolution filed by a Texas congressman in March of 2023. This all starts at a White House meeting about immigration on March 24th, 2021. One of two announcements made by President Biden is assigning the handling of the border to Harris.
It's not her full responsibility and job, but she's leading the effort.
There is no question that Kamala Harris was named border czar. However, I think there is some doubt regarding what actual influence she's had on Biden administration border policy over the course of the past 3 years.
But she was clearly intended to be the point person for the immigration issue.
Now that Kamala is going to be the presidential nominee for the Democratic Party, how many times will the media go back to the Lester Holt interview with her about border policy and what her ridiculous answers were as he asks her about what the message is that the Biden-Harris administration is sending to people in Central America?
What do you tell a Guatemalan family who heard you say, don't come, but you know, they're facing the end. There's poverty, there's disease, all these things happening at once. You tell them, don't come?
I don't think that Americans want people to be exposed to harm if they can avoid it. And what we are seeing is that people are fleeing. They're paying coyotes. They're taking the trek from the place that they know that they want to stay. So I'm here in Guatemala to say, what can we do to support people and to give them a sense of hope that help is on the way? So, for example, we have, for the first time, created an anti-trafficking task force, in addition, an anti-corruption task force, where the United States Department of Justice, together with the Treasury Department and the State Department, are going to be focusing on the issue of corruption in this region. We need to deal with and confront the corruption issue, and we need to give people a sense of hope.
So the follow-up I would have asked is, how many people around the world are without hope that don't have our economic system, our judicial system, our property rights, all the things we have in our Constitution that protect the freedoms and liberties that we have? How many people around the world don't have that? Are you going to let all of them come in? Are you going to let any country that does not have the economic, educational, business foundation to advance the lives of their citizens, we're going to let all of those people come in? There are 7 billion people in the world. We can't open our doors to everybody who's got an issue with their own country. You've not solved the problem there. I hope people will see that after 4 years of this kind of craziness in her immigration policy, that she's not going to do any better if she was elected president. Let's take a quick break, and we're going to come back. We're going to talk about more of the Kamala policies that have failed.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages, join me, Roger B., every Tuesday at 1400 hours right here on America's Web Radio for the Locked and Loaded show. We will talk about guns, weapons, ammo, gun accessories, prepping, and so much more. So be sure to join us every Tuesday at 1400 or 2 p.m. for Locked and Loaded on America's Web Radio.
The Docs for Patient Care Foundation is your way to join the fight and become a member of an organization created by doctors for patients, dedicated to fighting for your healthcare freedom and preserving the doctor-patient relationship. Get a pen and paper. Write down www.docsforpatientcarefoundation.org. That's www.docsforpatientcarefoundation.org. Go to our site and please make a generous tax-deductible donation and join the fight today. Thank you.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back to the final segment of America's Web Radio. You're listening to Healthcare Insight, where we're talking about the healthcare of the country, the healthcare of the world, the healthcare as we proceed towards the 2024 election. And I wanted today to really expose Kamala Harris for those who may forget or haven't paid attention to what's been going on, who she really is, how vacuous she is, how unserious politician she is, but yet we're hearing from so many people how great and wonderful this administration has been. It's the best administration ever. They've done more in 4 years than any other administration has done in 8 years. And yet we're in this high inflation, high interest rate, high groceries, foreign conflicts, wide open border, energy policy down the drain. Our adversaries are taking advantage of us. Russians and Chinese are flying into space that they've never flown into before in Alaska. It's just ridiculous how the media can make over something that really you would think is impossible to make over, but they have great influence on people who really don't keep up with the news. I mean, many people don't even have cable TV anymore. They listen to things on YouTube and Facebook, and that's where they get the news. And those organizations are as biased as any left-leaning mainstream media television program would be. And I want you to hear a real political thinker, an independent thinker. He's not conservative. Yes, he's sort of on the right side of the center. But Douglas Murray is a great thinker and observer of what's going on in this country. And I want to ask him, Mr. Murray, what is your take on what's happening with the media remaking this administration, and in particular remaking Kamala Harris into something she's never been?
Now, of course, Joe Biden is already the past and has been clearly unceremoniously ditched at the behest of leaders of his own party. And now the whole story has to change. So again, when you and I last spoke, Rita, Kamala Harris was one of the most foot-in-mouth politicians of our era, a person of very few discernible talents and who had absolutely all the qualities of leadership apart from followers. And now what a difference a few weeks makes. Because now, of course, as New York Magazine and all those same legacy media, again, with a few notable exceptions, are seriously trying to push Kamala on the not just American public, but the world public as the savior of the republic. And it's quite a sight to behold. You know, these are long weeks in politics these days. There's several months until the election. Goodness knows what'll happen in the meantime. But I reckon that this varnish and gloss and razzmatazz that the Democrat loyal media are trying to push is not really going to stick. I think it's going to wear off pretty fast.
As further evidence as to how the media can push one story or another, or how the news cycle can change the storyline so quickly, we're now talking about this great and wonderful Kamala, but we have left off the story of what happened just a very few days ago with the attempted assassination of President Trump and the vitriol that the media had that was really wasn't sticking very well because Biden was so inept and the public could see that. But there's no recognition of how mean-spirited and how targeted the media and Democratic politicians were towards Donald Trump that created an environment where some crazy person could actually try to go and assassinate him. So give us your take on that whole buildup and how that has been lost in any media coverage at this point as they fawn over Kamala Harris.
The thing that strikes me is, you know, in the run-up to that attempted assassination of former President Trump, leading Democrats, including Kamala Harris and Joe Biden, were all, again, with their amen chorus in the media, saying, you know, this is going to be the last election you can vote in. This is a vote, you know, on democracy. This is an election about democracy and whether we get the chance to ever vote again. And by the way, women, you're all going to be sold into servitude and all of these white supremacists like J.D. Vance and his wife are all going to kill you all the time. And they were doing that right up until the day of the attempted assassination. There were a few hours of merciful silence and decency, and now they're back at it again. They are back at it again. And, you know, you and I have talked about this before, Rita. If you think if you think and keep saying, or keep saying and don't think, but just say it anyway, as I say, that Donald Trump is Hitler and it's going to be the Fourth Reich if he gets a second term in power, it's not surprising if somebody is going to decide that the great fantasy of going back in time and killing Hitler is now your opportunity and you can do it. Yes. We know because this had happened in 2016 when a young British man tried to seize a gun from a policeman at a Trump rally in order to try to shoot then-candidate Trump. Nobody toned down the rhetoric in the years since. If anything, they ramped it up. And if this were any other scenario, Rita, there wouldn't just be a focus on the gunman. There would be a focus on all the people that made these hyperbolic and histrionic claims for years. And people would be saying, why don't we tone it down a bit? Why don't we stop pretending that, you know, Donald Trump and J.D. Vance are white supremacist Hitlerites, and just recognize there are other Americans with a different vision of where we're going in America, and they need to be taken on for their arguments. But no. Oh, no. The ability to do that lasted a few minutes some Saturdays ago, and now they're back at it. And I think it's shameful, for one. I don't think it's a discourse that should be in politics, because at the end of the day, the people who made those arguments have been in what should be a much stickier position, because they're saying, this guy is Hitler, but I'm sorry he wasn't killed. Well, good luck holding on to those two ideas at the same time. Good luck.
You know, so far in this radio program / podcast, we talked about Kamala's one role on the border and her failure there. Listen to her own words, where anybody who is in a bad situation around the world ought to be coming to the United States, because we have such compassion for anybody who's in a troubled society. So just let the border be open for 7 billion people who might want to come to the United States because it creates a better life than where they are today. Instead of those governments forming a better political, social, economic environment. So let's listen to this great and wonderful foreign policy expert, Kamala Harris, and what she says about foreign policy and about the war going on in the Middle East.
It is important for the American people to remember the war in Gaza is not a binary issue. However, too often the conversation is binary, when the reality is anything but. So I ask my fellow Americans to help encourage efforts to acknowledge the complexity, the nuance, and the history of the region. Let us all condemn terrorism and violence. Let us all do what we can to prevent the suffering of innocent civilians. And let us condemn anti-Semitism, Islamophobia, and hate of any kind.
Well, I want our listeners to think, was that a set of policies to stop the war in the Middle East, to solve the problem of terrorism from Hamas and Hezbollah and the Houthis and from Iran supporting all those? Or is that just a bunch of platitudes? Yeah, we're against terrorism. We're against people having any form of hate. But does she recognize and realize that we are in the middle of a war in the Middle East? Our major ally, the only democracy in the Middle East, is under fire from people who want to kill them. So I want to go back to our speaker here and ask him how he interprets the platitudes just proposed as the foreign policy by Vice President Harris.
I mean, it's first of all, of course, it's tip-top advice from Vice President Harris, isn't it? She said to Benjamin Netanyahu that the war should end. I'm sure that's absolutely fresh to him. He must be surprised that's never occurred to him or anyone in his government. Everybody wants the war to end. But, you know, what is Kamala's plan to get back the hostages, including the American hostages that are held by Hamas and other Islamic militants in Gaza? What's her plan to get them back? She's weirdly silent about it. What is her great expertise in warfare or indeed in anything much to start lecturing an ally that is at war with an enemy that wishes to annihilate it? It's astonishing to me. I mean, if she wants to stop the killing, what's Kamala Harris's plan for stopping Hezbollah launching rockets into Israel, like the one this week that killed more than 10 incredible young children, Druze children, from the extraordinary Druze community in Israel? What's her plan to stop Hezbollah rocketing Israeli children when they're playing in a field in northern Israel? What's her plan? I mean, I'd love to know. The truth is, I don't think she knows. One of the things, by the way, you can also always tell when somebody really hasn't studied any complex issue is saying banalities like, this is not a binary issue. Actually, parts of this are very binary. You're either with Israel or you're with Hamas. You either want Hamas to be defeated or you want Israel to be defeated. You either want the hostages to be returned and Hamas to be destroyed, or you want the Israelis to fail in their war aims. And that is binary. And if Kamala Harris doesn't think it is, perhaps she could look to her supporters, including the ones who were obviously enormously energized by her decision to skip the Netanyahu speech, the joint sessions of Congress, in order to fulfill a very important sorority speaking engagement on the other side of the country. The people who took enormous courage from her stance and thought that history was behind them by turning out on the streets of D.C., as I saw with my own eyes, shouting horrible slurs at, among others, black policemen who were doing their best to guard the Capitol that day and shouting white supremacists at them, and then marching through Washington, D.C., calling for the annihilation of Israel and the annihilation of the United States of America. These people were burning the American flag on the streets of Washington, D.C. So actually, that is kind of binary. Are you with the flag burners or against them? I know where I stand. I wish that Kamala Harris made it clearer where she did.
Well, there you have it, audience. Kamala Harris exposed at least the first segment of it. What has she done on domestic policy? Absolutely nothing. She's not done anything at the border. She's bypassed even going to the border. She's never hardly even seen it from more than a couple hundred miles away. She doesn't care about the impact on Americans on an open border. On foreign policy, she has no foreign policy except platitudes. She's been engaged with the Biden administration. She's been responsible for the decisions and lack thereof of doing anything appropriate to protect this country. She says she meets with President Biden weekly, and yet she never understood what was his decline was. She lied to the American public. She's lying to the American public now. The media is lying to the American public. And what I ask everybody out there is don't get fooled by it. Talk to your neighbors. Talk to your family members. Show them this or other news outlets other than ABC, NBC, CBS, and CNN. There's so much more to learn about the vacuousness of this person. If she's in charge of the United States, and especially if she gets in charge of putting new people on the Supreme Court, this country will move towards the policy of the party she really should be a member of, and that is the Democratic Socialist Party, along with Bernie Sanders. Well, join us next week, and we'll expose more of Kamala Harris.
The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.